studio.org, kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Like us on facebook.com/stageandstudio or tweet me at stage, the letter and studio. We're going to go out now with Golden West from composer and musician Daryl Grant, one of the arrangers for A Civil War Christmas. Till next time, I'm Demi Roberts.
Good morning. The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zam Zam Sounds. And this is Art Focus on KBU Radio. And I'm your host, Andre Middleton. Today, my guests are Laura Ross-Paul and Renee Zangara, two local artists who have a show up at PCC's Northview Gallery called Drawing is the Core. Along with Karen Esser, but okay. But first up, some local art news. The Lagunitas Brewery has a grant program to support animal welfare, community art initiatives, and music programs. If you know of a nonprofit that provides services in one of these three areas, please share this news with them. Visit lagunitas.com/grantprogram to learn more. Alberta Main Street's Equitable Placemaking Historical Markers Outreach Project seeks to collect stories that document the history of the African-American community on Alberta Street. Stories will be included on Alberta Main Street's website, and selected stories will inform the creation of a historical and cultural markers to be installed on Alberta Street between Northeast 10th and 31st Avenues. Funding for this project has been provided by a grant received from the Portland Development Commission. Please visit albertamainstreet.org, What's Happening Historical Markers Project, to learn more. The Arts Equity Grant Program from the Regional Arts and Culture Council provides financial support to organizations in Multnomah County and the City of Portland, conducting arts and cultural projects and programming for communities of color, immigrants, refugees, underserved communities, and persons with disabilities, the LGBTQI communities, and other underrepresented communities. The goal of this grant program is to further RAC's commitment to ensuring that everyone in our region has equal access to the arts and the fundamental rights to express their culture through the arts. The letter of intent to apply deadline is February 22nd, 2017, so please start thinking about your project and visit www.rac.org/grants to learn more. Drawing as Core at the Northview Gallery at PCC Sylvania Campus. This exhibition is a collection of large-scale singular installations by Karen Esler, Laura Ross-Paul, and Renee Zangara, where each artist's work will represent a specific material response to and elaboration of the drawing process. Esler's panoramic mural on synthetic paper is executed most exclusively with densely worked charcoal. Laura Ross-Paul's constellation of painted panels integrate dry marks with predominantly fluid media, and Zangara's work is a series of three paper scrolls suspended from a massive freestanding frame that literally bridges the space between Esler's and Laura Russ Paul's work, appearing to be equal parts drawn line and brushed on color. So today in the studio, I have Lori and Renee, and there's a chance that Karen might join us via the phone, but we'll see. It's great to have you both on Art Focus.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you for having us.
Great. So if you could both, and starting with you, Renee, could you please share a little bit about your backgrounds and how you discovered you need to be an artist?
Well, I've always been a creative person. I've always had my hands making things. And it was about 20 years ago that I decided I wanted to get my degree in fine arts. And I enrolled at Merrill Hurst. And
that's my alma mater.
Go Merrill Hurst. And it was during that first year that the art world really started to open up to me, and I could see what the potential in becoming an artist. And I also saw a drawing exhibit that first year of Francisco Goya's work. And when I saw that, it had such an impact on me that I wasn't aware that two-dimensional work could have that kind of an emotional pull. And it was at that point that I dove in all the way.
Nice, nice, nice. And Laura, I know a little bit about your history, but why don't you share with our audience as well?
Well, I'm not sure how far back I could go, but my kind of first memory is my eyes and my hand connecting, and I think that was from being a baby. And I know growing up, my dad would bring home pads of paper from his work and pencils, and I was drawing all the time. In grade school, my teacher was the one that started Talented and Gifted, and I was in that first group that was her guinea pig. And high school, I did, you know, murals and everything, yearbook. We got a big national award, and it just kind of went like that until I went to college. Then I went into nursing because that's what all the women did. But then with the Vietnam War, I kind of got tapped to use my skill as an underground artist, and it was really a revelation to see. I was totally anonymous because I was at school on scholarship, and I needed to remain anonymous to keep those. And it was really a revelation to see the impact that a visual could do. And I just knew, you know, it's crazy to try to deny doing this. But it was great because the nursing helped me get all my prerequisites out of the way. So by the time I switched into art for my main focus, I could just do studio classes and ended up getting a master's at Portland State, actually.
So. Outstanding, outstanding, outstanding. Well, we are both on the show today to talk about your exhibit at the Northview Gallery at PCC Sylvania Campus, Drawing is the Core. I went and saw this at the opening on the 12th of November, and it is an impressive exhibit. The Northview Gallery, for those who haven't been there, it's a rather large room, windows on either side, large, like 45, maybe 50-foot walls. It's a really, really bright, expansive space. And
skylight.
The skylight, so it's very, very well lit, and there's a lot to take in. If you don't mind me asking, what was the inspiration of this project, and how did you both, or maybe all three of you, come to it?
Well, we need to give a shout out to the wonderful curator, Mark Smith, out there, who's on the faculty and has taken on the Northview. And it really started with Karen, and you know, she can't be with us because she's teaching drawing out there right now. And she took on the Northview. She was going to do an installation in the entire thing, and she loved the challenge of the 45-foot wall. But that's quite a challenge, and as time went by, she realized she'd get one wall done, but probably not the other one. And that's when I came in and said, okay, I'll take on that wall. I like the challenge too. I'd never done an entire wall installation, and I had some new materials I was trying out. But then when we realized that Karen, her piece was going to be all black and white and mine was going to be intense color, we knew we needed a bridge. And that's when, of course, we thought of our friend Renee, and who I have to say, and I really appreciate, she totally stepped up to the bat to do a great bridge transition piece.
Nice. So Renee, if you don't mind sharing how you came to the project, and can you describe your piece in particular?
Sure. Lori invited me into this show, And we had all talked about it being about drawing. And once I had went out to Northview Gallery, I knew where my piece was going to be. My piece was going to be sort of in the center of the gallery, in front of the north windows. And whenever you have windows to deal with, you want to think about the light that's coming in, and you want to think about the view in the outside and the exterior. So my challenge was to look at that space and figure out how my drawing was going to become part of this three-person installation. It wasn't a directive for me to be a bridge. It just kind of turned out that way, that I was bringing in my process of painting and drawing, and Karen was bringing her drawing, and Laura was bringing her painting. So the three of us combined in my work, wouldn't you say, Lori?
Absolutely. And I think that's what makes it visually such a wonderful integrated installation, to see the entire gallery kind of goes together.
And then I also wanted to, because I was sort of out in free floating space, I wanted to think about that backside of the drawing. I had that opportunity to do something there where people that were outside in the corridors could look into the gallery and see a drawing, a three-dimensional type of drawing.
Right. So you're describing what you're describing is, there is a black sculpture behind it that's approximately, what, close to maybe 9 to 10 feet tall?
Correct.
And it literally looks like a three-dimensional scribble. I think that's an accurate way of putting it. And in reflection, your work is a wonderful bridge, because Karen's work is really just a long, continuous drawing of what looks like villagers in a small village in Africa. Like you said, drawn in charcoal. It's very detailed, semi-photorealistic. From afar, it looks like a photograph. And then when you get right on top of it, you can see it's a drawing. And then your piece, and hopefully I'm not mispronouncing this, but it looks like a bit of a triptych, where you've got these three panels that are side by side that are broken up by a very thin line of empty space that is incorporating a lot of line, a lot of spatial relationships, and the lines of color and black and white. And then Lori's piece on the adjacent wall is an amazing, it's an incredible collection, specifically placed, specifically hung, that's somewhat narrative, that is fully, it's all color, different sizes, different shapes, and different planes.
I'm calling them painting constellations that follow a linear up and down. I really wanted to use the length and height of the wall to snake my piece up and down and around. So and they're kind of color coded, and so it you see it as a whole, but you also see it as parts. And my thought is that they're sort of stations on a journey, and it really documents, since they all have figures in water, sometimes on boats, but it documents a journey.
Oh, no, it's incredible. And I'm just saying that I think it's one thing, most shows that you go to where it's a group show at a gallery, there may be some cohesive narrative that is a thread, maybe, possibly. But in this show in particular, you really could feel a journey from one wall all the way around to the center and all the way back again.
And Andre, I think what you bring up is an important point of why artists like Renee and Karen and I take on these kinds of challenges, is that showing in a college space like the Northview gives you an opportunity to stretch your wings that you normally wouldn't in a gallery show, where the work is a bit commodified. And that isn't necessarily the goal here. The goal is to see how you can push as an artist and create a really interesting visual event.
No, that makes a very good point. So that makes me go to, I'm going to jump around here a little. Obviously, I've known you, Lori, for close to 20 years now, and this body of work really is a new direction for you. Did you all approach this as an opportunity to do something new? And was that, brought on by the opportunity to do this? Or have you been kind of percolating these ideas prior to Mark connecting with you with this opportunity?
Well, you're looking at me, so I'll start. I had two goals in mind. One was I definitely had been challenged to use some new materials. I'm good friends with Martha Bergman, who was a longtime product developer for Gamelin Artist Colors. And now, you know, she travels around the country. She sees a lot of artist studios, a lot of art shows. And she had this new product that she and a pastel manufacturer out of New York were working on. It's called Figment. It starts with the formula from Raphael, what he used to draw the murals at the Vatican. And it, you can work with, when you hit it with water, it becomes permanent. It doesn't flake like charcoal or pastel. It's kind of dustless. But when you hit it with water, it becomes permanent, so it doesn't smear or anything. And it has just a lot of kind of unique properties. So she sort of was saying nationally how the line between drawing and painting was blurring and gave me the challenge of how could I use this drawing material with watercolor and oil and do it on a in an archival way. I use a product called TerraSkin, which is poured gesso. So all the materials work together archivally. That was a huge challenge. The other challenge driving my imagery was that, and I'll be brief about this, but I've had a kind of 13-year now journey from being a patient pioneer and using an innovative new technique to treat my breast cancer, which is basically freezing. And that journey has taken me through a lot of different stages. But one of the things is, as well, it's that technique called cryoablation is still not very commonly done here in the States. It has taken off internationally, particularly in China and a particular hospital in China. So I have been gone to China 4 times now. And the last two were as a international speaker at a international cancer forum as a guest of the Chinese. So there's a lot of Asian aesthetic and just the whole journey that I was processing. And I didn't want to, I did it symbolically in universal symbolism. So it could be a huge, you know, how does any person face huge challenges setting out on a journey that they really don't know where they're going to end up or how the parts or where it's going to, you know, it was exploring all of that.
Nice, nice. And Renee, once again, granted, I am not as intimate with your work as I'm with Laura's. So I'm curious, you know, how much of a departure was this? How much was an evolution of this? And was knowing that you were going to be in this space, in this context, how much did that have an impact on what you planned on doing?
Well, I think every time you are going to create work for a space, it's a new challenge. It's something exciting, and you want to have a lot of enthusiasm around that. And this space is so beautiful that I've done this before. I've done installations before. So it was just really getting familiar with this space and how I wanted to present work in this space. And this was the first time I worked with a metal fabricator, Jim Schmidt, and that was a lot of fun for me. It was bringing that big armature into the gallery space and having it become part of the architecture was really fun to see. Nice. As we lifted that up with the drawings.
Nice. So following up with you, when were you approached, and can you go a little bit about your timeline from when you were approached to actually completing the installation?
Gosh, Lori, when did you?
Well, we tried to give you, I think at the beginning of the summer, maybe.
Probably. Yeah. And I had.
So the summer of 2016.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, last spring, let's say sometime late last spring.
Okay.
Yeah, let's give it that day. And I had some other ideas and that I was working on. But then when I went into the space and saw how the light could possibly affect the work, I knew I had to sort of change gears and come up with something different.
Nice. Nice. So is that scale your... I mean, is that scale your wheelhouse? I mean,
I do work in a large scale, but this was probably the largest because of the height of that space. And I knew with talking with Mark what my dimensions kind of were going to be. So I had to work in the floor, on the floor in my studio, to just sort of lay out those, to get those drawings sort of laid out before I could roll them to be scroll-like and then pin them on the wall to actually see what I was doing.
Right.
It's not easy to see when you're working on the floor. Right.
Yeah, and the same thing goes for you, Laura.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I mean, I've been in your studio, and I mean, it's not that much bigger than the studio we're in right now. That was a lot of space you ended up filling
well,
up.
Well, the interesting thing about this show is until installation day, just a few days before the opening, Karen, Renee, and I, none of us knew how our work was going to look on that wall. We conceived it, we hoped for it, we, you know, envisioned it, but none of us really knew. And I think we were all kind of taken aback that it really worked for every single one. And that's a huge leap of faith, and it's a big belief in your fellow partners taking that challenge on. And I mean, I'm just so grateful that both Karen and Renee really stepped up to the bat. I mean, the plate, and you know, hit a home run, I think.
Now, speaking of your piece in particular, again, can you talk about the hanging process? I mean, you go to most galleries and you see, you know, paintings in a row or things.
Oh,
in
yeah.
All, but your particular, how yours was hung, was quite unique.
Oh,
can you talk about that process at all?
This gets into kind of the core of the creative process, which I can't say I always understand. Each of the painting constellations kind of represented a different part of my journey, and they kind of came to me one by one. And for viewers, of course, this isn't visual, but they're on panels, and the panels are in different shapes. So sometimes there's three hung vertically and not straight down from each other. Sometimes they're horizontal. There's one that I don't even know how you describe it, but four that sort of makes a X, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they all get connected. Kind of like a puzzle from all the way down to the floor, all the way up to the ceiling, and they, as you go along. Anyway, they did come to me individually one by one, and I knew I wanted to knit them together on the wall somehow, and I truly didn't know how. And then one day in yoga class, after we'd been led through about a half hour meditation, I was just lying there, and all of a sudden, boom, it hit my brain as a whole. So I went home, and I had to lay it out from the basement through my studio out into the yard, and I measured it, and it was exactly 45 feet, and I just couldn't believe it. It was just like meant to be. And so here's what I think about the creative process. I was told this all the way in college. Sometimes you don't believe those things your professors tell you that are older and wiser. But I had a professor that says most of your work goes, creative work goes on in the subconscious, and it doesn't always tell you about it till you need it. I don't know if that's true, but it sure seemed to be it. And because I just couldn't, it couldn't have been in a better way, even sequentially, the order that
right.
they were done in. I was really blown away.
That sounds like a true disciple of O'Leary, perhaps.
Well, you know, I did come of age in the late 60s. So, yeah.
Exactly. So we've got, we're starting to run out of time, so I want to make sure. So are there any other events connected with your show that are going to be happening that you need our audience to know about?
We have a talk out at PCC Northview Gallery next Tuesday.
The 29th, exactly a week from today, only, well, let's see what time. Is it going to be around 1 o'clock?
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's 1 o'clock, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure that people can visit the PCC website and look up Northview Gallery.
Oh, yeah. There are signs as you come into the campus, follow, they will say art venue, but it's right. It's the CT building right behind the bookstore.
Now, even though Karen was unable to join us today, I'm sure she'll be able to join you next Tuesday.
Yeah,
we're planning on it.
She better.
In addition, you are both, obviously, you're a working professional artist, even outside of this event. Where can people see your work, Renee?
Well, right now I have an installation at the Portland Art Museum, the fourth floor, the Northwest Gallery. So you can see Napping with Monsters there.
Okay.
And Lori's there also.
Yeah, we're neighbors on the wall. And I'm going to have a new piece in the winter show at Froelich Gallery, which represents me. And then next spring, I'm going to be down in Palm Springs at Brian Markey Gallery. And we'll be continuing with these new materials and the technique.
Outstanding. And I assume that you both have websites where people may be able to follow you and, you know, see past works. And
I'd like Froelich Gallery and laurarosspaul.com. But anyone interested in that cancer stuff, just remember the word keeping them, because the process I went through allowed me to keep my breasts. So just remember keeping them, keepingthem.com or Facebook. Keeping them gives you tons of information if you're interested.
Great.
And mine's ReneeZangara.net, and upcoming shows are listed on my site as
and
well.
Karen is represented by Froelich Gallery, and she's having an exhibit there, I believe, in the spring, but you could probably check their website.
Outstanding. So this is my last question I ask all my guests, and it's a little esoteric, but what is the question that your artwork is seeking to answer?
I like to use my artwork to be on the edge that provokes the viewer to ask their own questions of interpretation, and I work very hard at that to make it universal enough that they can bring their own experience to the work. So I think that's probably.
Renee?
I don't think I'm seeking to answer a question as much as I'm after making sense of my mark making and trying to pull together an inviting piece.
Thank you.
Of work.
Thank you. I really can't thank you both enough for joining us today on our Art Focus.
Well, thank you, Andre. You're a fantastic interviewer.
Well, thank you. Well, it's the company I keep.
It was a nice meeting you.
It was
a real pleasure.
So once again, everybody, I want to wrap up our art news for you. Coming up, we've got Lagunitas Brewery as a grant program to support animal welfare, community art initiatives, and music programs. Visit Lagunitas/grant program to learn more. Alberta Mainstream Equitable Placemaking Historical Markers Outreach Project, that's a mouthful, seeks to collect stories that document the history of the African-American community on Alberta Street. Please visit albertamainstreet.org, What's Happening Historical Markers Project, to learn more. The Arts Equity Grant Program, formerly the Expanding Cultural Access Grant Program at the Regional Arts and Culture Council, provides financial support to organizations in Multnomah County and the City of Portland conducting arts and culture projects and programming for communities of color, immigrants, refugees, underserved neighborhoods, persons with disabilities, LGBTQI communities, and other underrepresented communities. Letter of intent to apply deadline is February 22nd. So get on it. It's only like 2, maybe 3 months away. Please start thinking about your project now and visit www.rack.org to learn more. Are you a video maker, artist who wants to teach your skills to others? In this 2-hour workshop hosted by Portland Community Media, media artist and educator Jody Darby will go over the nuts and bolts of becoming a teaching artist that specializes in video. Also, before I forget, please visit the Willamette Week Give Guide. There are tons of art organizations, including KABU, that need your support. Give via the Willamette Week Give Guide. You can find photos, links, as well as all our guest information on our show page. If you missed any part of today's show, there will be a podcast of the show online later today. It's my goal to meet and introduce artists to the KABU audience with a broad spectrum. If you are a visual artist in any medium, or a musician, dancer, poet, what have you, we'd love to have you on our show. Well, right now we're going out with the sounds of Higher Plane by Danny Skrilla from Portland's own Zam Zam Sounds. Thanks again for joining us on KABU's Art Focus here in Portland, Oregon. Take care.
KBOO Community Radio is in this year's Willamette Week Give Guide. The Give Guide highlights 140 local nonprofits, including us. Give to KBOO in the Give Guide today and help us highlight the impact community radio has throughout the Willamette Valley. All new and increased contributions will be matched one-to-one by the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. You also get Chinook book discounts and free items in your email box immediately following your gift, along with your donation receipt. The Give Guide is an easy, secure way to make a gift to KBOO. So go to kboo.fm and click on